This morning I want to share a message which is simply called Sent by the Spirit. The fact that every believer is a missionary. All of us are missionaries for the kingdom. Again, we've just read there, but you will receive, or again, the scripture says in Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is Acts 1:8. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promises that all of us will be his witness, that we will all go out into the world and we will share the gospel. If you're like me and you find a great place to eat, a restaurant or something, and I dare say all of you are exactly the same if you're blessed and you're fortunate enough to eat out on occasion. If we find somewhere that we really like, a great restaurant, then we're very keen to share it. We naturally want to share what we found, don't we? We want to tell people how good an experience it is. And likewise, if we discover something that potentially is life-changing, then equally, I dare say, we would want to share the same good news. If you found something that was phenomenal, that had such a great impact on your life, I dare say you would be excited about sharing that news. You wouldn't be able to keep it quiet. And the thing is when Jesus changes our life, something in others sees what Jesus has done, and there's something in others that want to know what has happened to us. I hope you've had that experience. I hope you're living the Jesus life to the extent that people see in you something that they themselves desire and something that they want. On the night of the 23rd of June, 1978, 12 people, Elim missionaries, 12 people were killed in the Vumba region of what was then Rhodesia, which is but now Zimbabwe. 12 missionaries, 12 people who had heard the good news, had changed their life, and they had decided that they wanted to go somewhere to tell others who hadn't heard the good news of Jesus, and it cost them their lives. They laid down willingly their lives, and it's recorded that one of the women, while she watched one of her colleagues being butchered, said to them, "Don't be afraid. They can only kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul." They laid down their life. And every year around the 23rd of June, we as a movement remember and honor those 12 who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. And in fact, what I want us to do is in the next couple of weeks, well, at the end of the month, and I'm putting it out there now, at the end of the month, I want us to take up a special offering that we will send to Elim International Missions to support the ongoing work of missionaries who leave all that is familiar and go to foreign countries and foreign places for the sake of the gospel. But the reality is this, that when we hear the word missionary, we often picture someone boarding a plane, someone leaving everything that is familiar, boarding a plane and maybe going to somewhere like Africa or Asia or South America. And we imagine someone quite extraordinary, someone who is deeply spiritual. But what if the New Testament had a bigger picture? What if the New Testament, what if the gospel presents to us a bigger picture of what a missionary looks like? What if God's plan is not just that the church supports missionaries, supports those who go abroad, who go to different places, but what if the church is actually made up of missionaries? Because I think it is. The church is made up of missionaries. What if God's plan is not that he sends someone else, but actually that he sends you? What if God sends and chooses to send you? Because I think that that's the bigger picture that the gospel presents as we read it about what a missionary is. Let's read it again. First in Acts 1:8. But you, who's that? You, not me. It includes me, but it includes you. You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus says this. Jesus says that you, whoever you are, you watching on the cameras from the other side, you will be my witness. Notice that Jesus didn't say that Holy Spirit comes simply to make us comfortable. Notice that he didn't say that Holy Spirit comes simply to make us feel good. That's not the purpose of Holy Spirit. It's not even to bless our times of worship, as much as we enjoy that in terms of understanding his presence. But Holy Spirit comes to empower and enable the believer. He comes to enable and empower not me, though he does, but he actually comes to empower you. He comes to enable you for the work of the gospel, for the sake of kingdom. You know, when the scripture asks this in Romans 10, which we've just read, the scripture asks, how are they to believe, that is, those who have never heard the word, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How will anyone hear without someone preaching? How will they hear without someone preaching? Who's going to do the preaching? Am I going to do the preaching? I'm not talking about platform. I'm talking about what we do when we're out there. Are you going to leave it to me? Are you going to leave it to others who are out there regularly on the streets preaching the gospel, engaging with people? Or do you recognize that God is actually calling you into a great adventure, and that of being a missionary to the world around us? You see, in Pentecostal churches, and you know, we're of the Pentecostal stream, we recognize the work of the Spirit. We understand that in order to fulfill the call and the work of the gospel, we need Holy Spirit. And that is rightly so, because it's not about us. It's not just on our gifting and abilities, because that immediately would exclude a number of us. But instead, Holy Spirit comes. I would say Holy Spirit's main purpose is not to make us feel comfortable in church, not so that we can manifest the gifts as great as they are, not just so that we can produce fruit, but I would suggest to you that the greatest work and the greatest purpose of Holy Spirit is to bring others to Jesus, is to make Jesus known. Let's read that again. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How will anyone hear without someone preaching? And so the challenge for us all is that if the gospel, the presentation of the gospel, is not just for those exceptional people who will lay down their life, if it's not just for those who are prepared to go abroad and give up all that is familiar to them, if it's not for them, then for who? Well, the answer is for us. The responsibility is with each one of us, with God's church. All of us are called to be missionaries. And I want to share just a few things, just four simple things about what it is to be a missionary for Christ Jesus. First of all, mission starts where you are. Mission start where you are. Jesus says in that first chapter of Acts that you will be my witnesses. We're in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And it's not by accident that Jesus uses those particular places, because Jerusalem for Jesus was home. It was the familiar place. You will be my witnesses at home. And so immediately that brings a challenge to us, because what that tells us is that in order for us to be a missionary, we actually don't need to jump onto a plane. We actually don't need to go to a foreign land. But actually, being a missionary is right where we are. Because before ever there was the ends of the earth, there was next door. Before ever Jesus called us to the ends of the earth, there was next door. Sometimes we wrongfully think that, you know, well, I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to mission. But there is a challenge. The gospel challenges that kind of thinking. Of course, we may not be called overseas to mission, but every believer is called to be a witness. I've had the privilege of doing two or three overseas mission trips, and they have changed me. I was privileged that I was able to work with those marginalized on the edges of society, the fringes of society. I was privileged to be able to engage with lepers. And yes, leprosy for some people, for some countries, is still rampant and still active. And in those places, those people who exhibit or show the signs of leprosy are excluded. But these are the people, those are the people that Jesus has called us to go to love, to share the gospel. How will they hear unless someone tells them? But we don't have to go abroad. Our Jerusalem, your Jerusalem might be your workplace. Your Jerusalem might be your school. Your Jerusalem might be your family or your street, even your rugby club. Your Jerusalem might be the nursing home. We don't have to go abroad in order to be a missionary. Before ever there was the far reaches, before there were ever the ends of the earth, there was home. And you might be the only Bible that people ever read. As we read the word this morning and we read it out loud, perhaps, and I don't know, perhaps for some of you, that's actually the only time that you read the word in a week. I don't know, but I'm just saying maybe it is, maybe someone watching online, that's the only time you read the scripture in a week. But as missionaries, as those called to proclaim and to declare the gospel, we may be the only Bible that people read. And God has strategically, not by accident, placed you where you are for that purpose, that people might see Christ in you and through the power and enabling of Holy Spirit, draw them to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So mission starts where you are. The second thing is that mission goes beyond the comfort zone. Mission goes beyond the comfort zone. Jesus mentioned Samaria, and the Samaritans were a different kind of people. They were people that the Israelites or Israel, they just didn't mix. The Jews didn't mix with the Samaritans. They were them. They were those people over there. We don't have anything to do with them. And maybe we have people in our circles, in our lives, that we think like that. Well, I don't have anything to do with them. They're not my kind of people. But Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, not just at home, but you'll be my witnesses even in those places that are sometimes uncomfortable. We can get so comfortable. We're happy being comfortable. We like the familiar. We like doing what we know is going to happen. We don't like surprises. But Jesus said, step out of your comfort zone. There was tension between the Jews and the Samaritans, and maybe there's a tension, an inner tension in each one of us when we hear Holy Spirit speak, and Holy Spirit says, go and speak to that person, or go and speak with that group. Shall I tell you that probably one of the greatest tensions that we all face in terms of sharing the gospel is sharing the good news, the gospel, with family. All of us have that challenge. Because they know what we're like. They might even know us before we became followers of Jesus. And so there is that tension about sharing the gospel with family. And maybe family is our Samaria. You see, the thing is when we step out of our comfort zones, when we step into a different culture sometimes, it always stretches us. But one thing I have learned over the years is that the miracle is often in the stretch. When we step out of our comfort zones and we go where the Spirit leads, where the Spirit tells us, sometimes God calls us to cross barriers. Those are of cultural barriers. We don't understand, but He tells us to go into a different culture. And I appreciate, that as an assembly, we have a diversity of cultures, and we perhaps don't always understand the different cultures, the cultural differences. But God tells us to step over those cultural differences. Maybe there are social barriers that we need to cross over. Generational barriers. We're desperately praying that we be an intergenerational church. And some of us perhaps don't know how to connect with a younger generation. And perhaps it's true of them that they perhaps don't know how to connect with us as an older generation. But God tells us that we've got to step out of our comfort zones and go into those places that are unfamiliar, those places that make us sometimes feel a little bit nervous. And yes, as part of that, sometimes God does call us to go overseas. Sometimes He does call us to physically change location. But the fact is that we should celebrate and support those that are called to go. And we do. We have a good relationship with Sean and Quentin Ball at BioGems, and we support them financially. We support them practically. That's what the case there is all about. And if you haven't picked up a flyer, please pick one up. We want to fill a couple of cases by the end of the month. But we should support and pray for those that God calls and sends. But also, we need to be asking God, Lord, you might not be calling me abroad. You might not be sending me into a different culture. But where are you calling me to go? What are you calling me to step into? What are you calling me to lean into for the sake of the gospel? Mission reaches beyond our comfort zones. You can't stay in a place just because you are comfortable. God will often call you to move on. You see, mission isn't always over there. Mission is saying, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. A mission isn't always over there, somewhere else. Mission can be right where you are. Of course, God will send some, but sometimes God will call others to pray. Sometimes He'll call others to give. And sometimes He'll call others to go. So what is God asking you in this great mission adventure? What is God asking of you? What is he calling you to do? I haven't been on a mission trip for a few years now, but still mindful that there is a need out there. And I'm going to challenge you. I say in a couple of weeks, we want to send a gift to our international missions department. So you can think about that, you can pray about that. But some of you might be part of a particular bank, and this particular bank just recently has gifted their members with a one-off, as they do every year, lump sum. Why not give all of that to mission? It's money you didn't have in the first place. It's not yours. Great that God blesses you, but why not say, Lord, thank you for the blessing, but I'm going to use it to sow. I'm going to bless, you know, those who are out on the mission field. I'm going to bless those who have responded to the call and left all that is familiar. There's a challenge for you, because that's what I'm doing. And I'm not saying that for any other reason other than to help us to understand that God calls us. God calls us to support and to do things. Mission isn't just the going. We can support and help and pray in different ways. The third thing then is prayer. Prayer is mission. Prayer is mission. Sometimes people think that, oh, I can't do much. All I can do is pray. Well, let me tell you, prayer is as much as you can do. You know, I get fed up of hearing people say, all I can do is pray. Prayer underpins everything. All that we do. If we want to see the work of God and the powerful move of God, it starts with prayer. Prayer is not all you can do. It's everything that you can do. And so maybe God is calling you to prayer because it is as much as you can do. You see, prayer, when we pray with a fervent heart, when we lay hold of something in the spiritual, prayer changes things. Prayer opens doors. Prayer strengthens workers. Prayer prepares hearts. It prepares hearts. It makes us ready to do what God, by his Spirit, asks of us. It breaks down those barriers. Some of the greatest missionary breakthroughs came because of fervent prayers, because ordinary people were praying into a situation. And sometimes the Spirit stirs you in the middle of the night or whatever in the day, and you suddenly feel a burden to stop what you're doing and to pray into a situation. Prayer is mission. I tell you, those missionaries... The missionaries that we are aware of, those that are abroad, some of them appreciate those that they know are praying for them. But I guess all of them, without exception, will never know the full extent of the power of prayer. People who are praying for them, who they don't even know, but are constantly praying for them in their situation. Prayer is mission. When we pray for mission, whether it's overseas or here at home, we partner with what God is doing by Holy Spirit. We're partnering with God. What if every morning we simply prayed a simple prayer? We prayed, Holy Spirit, show me who needs encouragement today. Bring it to my consciousness, who needs encouragement today. What if we prayed, Jesus, give me courage to speak in the moment? What if we prayed, Lord, show me, reveal me, I don't know, but someone needs a prayer this morning. Prompt me to pray into a particular situation for someone this morning. What if we prayed, Lord, bless and strengthen those serving around the world? We might not know names, but God knows. God is the God who sees. Even when we are far off, not just spiritually, but when we are far off in the sense of away in a foreign land, praise God that God sees all. And we're never alone. He sees the struggles. He sees those who have laid everything down for the sake of gospel. Prayer transforms us into a people who notice others. Prayer transforms us into a people who are not just concerned about our immediate needs, but prayer stirs within us a concern, a compassion, a love for others. The fourth and final thing is this, is that you are sent. There's a great truth, a beautiful and a wonderful truth in this, that you don't need a title to be a missionary. You don't need a title. You don't need to be called, oh, that person's a missionary. You don't need the title to be on mission. You don't need a platform. You don't need to be perfect with your Bible knowledge. You know, sometimes we exclude ourselves because we think we have to know everything. All that God is looking for is a willing heart and a heart of obedience. We hear and we do. We don't second guess. We simply hear and we do. You see, mission isn't reserved for those heroic Christians. It's not reserved just for those who are willing to go into war-torn places of conflict. But mission says that you, little old you, wherever you are, whatever you have, mission says that you will be my witness. Not the person to the left or the right or in front or behind. It says you will be my witness. And so wherever God has placed you, whatever situation you find yourself, carry hope. Carry the good news of Christ Jesus, the gospel. Carry the presence of God. Know that you are not doing this alone. God is not calling you by yourself as a lone wolf, but God, by His Spirit, is equipping you, enabling you, and propelling you into the work that He has set before you, that of telling the gospel. If they don't hear, how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? How will anyone hear without someone preaching? And that someone is you. What if this week you saw yourself differently? If when you walk out of here, you don't just see yourself as someone just doing life in Neath or wherever you're doing life, on your estate or next door. But what if you saw yourself differently? What if you walked out and you said, you know what? I'm not just a church attender, but actually I'm a missionary. You know, I've got a purpose. There is a plan that God has for me to share the gospel. Lord, would you show me even now, Lord God, where I can give me opportunity to speak the gospel, to share my faith with someone. Give me an opportunity, open up a door for me to share hope with someone. And I guarantee, you know, when we walk around with that sort of attitude, opportunities present themselves all the time. Is that right, Jim? Yep. Opportunities present themselves all the time. Maybe God is calling us to our street, to our workplace, to our community, to our neighborhood, wherever. Maybe some of you are at home, you're not in gainful employment and you're at home all the time. Well, so are some of your neighbors. Find out who's at home and maybe connect with them. Invite them in for a coffee or something and give opportunity for you just to get to know them and to share the gospel of Christ Jesus. You see, all of us, not all of us are called to go. Not all of us are senders. Not all of us will give. But I tell you what, all of us can pray. Every single one of us can pray. All of us can care. All of us can speak. And all of us, without exception, can be available. In Jesus' name, amen.